Talking about giving. Is that okay? Is it okay if we talk about giving as a church? Yeah, I think it's important. I've all throughout the years have been amazed to watch Christians get all stiff when you talk about giving. I hope you've heard me say this, and I'm going to say it again and again and again. If you don't want to give, honey, don't give. Really. Don't feel constrained. Look, I grew up, and I love my pastor, dearly love him. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. Dearly loved him. We had a church of about 2,000 people, and money was a huge thing. And I mean, he told you how to give several different ways and insisted that you do it. And I mean, it was pretty much law. And I mean, there was a lot of pressure constantly. And then after you got done doing that, then they would take up another offering. And anytime there was a special need, he'd have people stand up and, you know, I'll give so much money and everything. And people who never gave any other time because they could put on a show, they would give money during those times. So I've seen it all, I've heard it all and everything. But I have studied the Word of God now for 60 years, and I feel a great liberty when it comes to giving. And I want you to feel that liberty. I do. I don't want you to feel bound up. I don't want you to feel constrained. We're not giving here to pay for this building. Occasionally, we have to mention about the building and stuff like that because choices were made long ago that this would be built. Uh-oh, my toy. Oh, gee. Well, come on. Come get it. Don't just leave it there. My goodness. Somebody will be without. There we go. See, the people are watching on the internet. You know, they have to think this is a zoo. All of us are in cages. No, I mean this with all of my heart. You know, this is not about building buildings and brick and mortar and wood and all of this. This is about relationship with the Lord Jesus. As I told you, the purpose of giving last week is love. Hear me, it's about love. For God so loved the world that he gave. And that's the model. That overshadows everything. You and I need to be responding and giving in that same glorious love, relationship with Christ. You know, we talked about the nature of giving last week, and it was the purpose of giving is love. God's plan for giving is first fruits, tithes, and offerings. That's what we see laid out in the Bible. That's how God's people have given throughout the ages. And then the final point was simply that God's people give. I mean, that's what we learn from the Bible. God's people give. That's not an indictment. That's not a criticism. It's not trying to heap anything onto somebody else. That is the truth of the Word of God. God's people give. Before the law, we saw it in Abraham, we saw it in Isaac, we saw it in Jacob, we saw it in Noah. All of these men, they gave because they realized that God had done something for them. I think it's very interesting, and I won't go too far down this because it's really not in my message this morning, but I think it's very interesting that Adam and Eve were never givers. You ever notice that? I mean, we don't have a whole lot about their lives, but they were not givers. They were just takers. And it didn't serve them well. They ended up rebelling against God and bringing a whole lot of grief to mankind because of it. But there is nothing in the Bible that talks about them. Number one, continuing a relationship with God after the fall, and number two, being givers. They never brought an offering. They never built an altar. Someone said, you know, will Adam and Eve be in heaven? I can't answer that because he's not made me to be the judge. But I see no evidence of relationship with God past the garden. Isn't that sad? I mean, you just think about, here's two people who were given everything. Everything that they needed. Their very lives. And yet, there was not enough thankfulness in them for life to even turn that thanks back to an offering to God. I don't know about you, that's sad to me. Come on. We're small in number today, we can respond a little bit, right? Isn't that sad? They had it all. They made a choice. I'm sure that when they were cast out of the garden and Adam's having to dig in that cursed soil and Eve's in the pain of childbirth and everything, that they were probably very mad at God for bringing that horrible stuff on them. You say, well, how do you know that, Pastor? Because it's not in the Bible. I know that because every generation after them has been that way. Unthankful, ungrateful before God, yes. But boy, whenever difficulty comes, it's, why did God bring this to me? Why did God allow this to happen? Come on. I'm going to talk to you, really picking up on that last point of God's people give. Taking it the next step, and that is the naturalness of giving. Two passages of scripture, one you're very familiar with, the other one you may not be quite as familiar with. The first one in Matthew 10 and 8 says, freely you have received, freely give. Now, I'm getting ready to drop a really golden nugget on you here, so if you've got your pen ready and your minds and your hearts tuned in, are you ready? How many are ready? I mean, this one's huge, this is big. Are you ready? God doesn't want you to give anything that you haven't already received. Whew. How big is that? It's huge, isn't it? He has no desire for you to give anything that you haven't already received. Like, that's cool. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 37, 21. He said, the wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Now, this is exactly what I'm saying. The wicked take. Those that don't have a relationship with God, their whole thing is take. How much can I get? How much can I receive myself? Those who truly have a relationship with the Lord, something changes. Well, as a matter of fact, he says we're a new creation. Now, come on, think on this a minute. Connect the dots. We're a new creation, a new Adam and Eve. And in that relationship that we have now with God, we get to enjoy what they had in the garden and lost. So we get that intimacy with God in the cool of the day and any time of the day. And those who are in that kind of relationship, they give. You know what? I should hold it a second. Hold it. I've got to correct myself. As I made a mistake, and I'm man enough to own it. My wife in here? Can you admit your mistakes? I made a mistake. I said that Adam and Eve, there's no evidence that Adam and Eve ever gave. And that's incorrect. That's a biblical untrue statement. Because Eve took of the fruit of the tree and gave some to Adam. Where was I at? Her one act of giving that is recorded in the scripture was to bring her husband down. Boy. Guys, I'll just let you muse on that a little bit. Just come on. Gather the distinction that the Word of God makes, and I believe that you and I can see evidenced in our world today, and that is that those who are walking after their own selves are takers. As he says, the wicked borrow and do not repay. That is that they receive, but they never give. But the righteous give generously. Those who are walking in relationship with God, their biggest concern of their life is to be able to give rather than to receive. I can honestly say by the word of God that it is a mark of relationship. Now, again, I'm not saying that critically. I'm not saying that to try and twist your arms. If you're not a giver, to make you a giver, that's between you and God. I'm not messing in that. What I am saying to you this morning is that it is an evidence, a very powerful evidence out of the scripture, that those who truly are walking in relationship with the Lord are givers. And that's a distinction. There are individuals who are not believers who are also givers. I have a story here from Stephen King. Some of you may be familiar with his work. Not anything that I would necessarily refer you to, but he's a well-known author, playwright, whatever. He says, a couple of years ago, I found out what you can't take with you. He said, I found out what it means. You can't take it with you. There we go. I found out while I was laying in a ditch at the side of the road, covered in mud and blood, with the tibia of my right leg poking out the side of my jeans like a branch of a tree taken down in a thunderstorm. He's a writer. I had a MasterCard in my wallet, but when you're lying in a ditch with broken glass in your hair, no one accepts MasterCard. We come in naked and broke. We may be dressed when we go out, but we're just as broke. Warren Buffett, going out broke. Bill Gates, going out broke. Tom Hanks, going out broke. Stephen King, broke. Not a crying dime. All the money you earn, all the stocks you buy, all the mutual funds you trade, all of that is mostly smoke and mirrors. It's still going to be a quarter past getting late whether you tell the time on a Timex or a Rolex. So I want you to consider making your life one long gift to others. And why not? All you have is on loan anyway. This isn't a Christian. This is a man who discovered truth. At the last is what you pass on. Now imagine a nice backyard surrounded by a board fence. Dad, a pleasant fellow, a little plump, is tending the barbecue. Mom and the kids are setting the picnic table, fried chicken, coleslaw, potato salad, chocolate cake for dessert. Excuse me, I kind of got lost there. And standing around the fence looking in are emaciated men and women, starving children. They are silent. They only watch. That family picnic is us. That backyard is America. And those hungry people on the other side of the fence watching us sit down and eat include far too much of the rest of the world. It's not a pretty picture, but we have the power to help, the power to change. And why should we refuse? Because we are all going to take it with us? Please. Giving isn't about the receiver or the gift, but the giver. It's for the giver. One doesn't open one's wallet to improve the world, although it's nice when that happens. One does it to improve oneself. A life of giving, not just money, but time, spirit, repays. It helps us remember that we may be going out broke, but right now we're doing okay. Right now we have the power to do great good for others and for ourselves. So I ask you to begin giving and to continue as you begin. I think you'll find it in the end that you got far more than you ever had and did more good than you ever dreamed. Stephen King. You see, a giving nature came naturally to men from God. We were created in His nature, in His likeness. So the desire to give, the capability to give, came from God. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden. You must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant." God saw that man needed a companion. He gave him a companion. God gave man breath. God gave man life. God gave man provision. God gave man work. God gave man shelter. God gave man food. God gave man clothes. God gave man His presence in the garden of His own making. God gave man authority to rule over His creation. God gave man a free will to choose if he would follow God's words or those of the devil, who gave nothing to man. The enemy of our souls is a taker. Come on. Any of you been through life? I thought you raised your hands to that. I said, the enemy of our souls is a taker. He steals our health. He steals our energy. He steals our finances. His whole intent, Jesus said, is as a thief to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We need to understand who we're buddying up with here. What team we're choosing. Come on. When we're walking with God, there's a naturalness in giving because God has given so much. And immediately as we recognize what we have received so freely from Him, we can turn loose of and... What a difference. What a difference. The transformed believer, giving is a natural part of their life. How many can say amen to that? No, that was pretty weak. I said for the transformed believer, giving is a natural part of their life. Okay. Maybe there's a thickness between here and there. I don't know. Could you hear one another say something? You know, I'm half deaf, so maybe that was the problem. I only heard about half of a... Let me say it one more time, just in case. Somebody was... maybe you were dozing at that point. For the transformed believer, giving is a natural part of their life. That's better. You got to understand something. The amens are not for me. They're for you. The acknowledging of God's word is saying, I believe that. I receive that. So may it be in my life. Oh yeah, I enjoy it, and it helps the preacher part of me, but really, it does not do anything for me for you to say amen or praise the Lord beyond encourage me in my speaking. It doesn't change my life in any way, but for you, it makes all the difference in the world. When you receive a truth of the Word of God, when you receive a truth of the Word of God, and you receive a truth of the Word of God into your life, that you say, amen, so let it be. Praise the Lord who brings this thing to me. Because then you are a giver and not just a taker. Oh. You see, this thing is not just about money, folks. This is about a spirit. Oh. Was that your toy, baby? I have felt that way several times. I identify with that child. Understand this. Man lost the giving nature with the fall. When Adam and Eve chose their choice to rebel against God, Genesis 3:6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Their choice. With the fall came a self-preservation attitude. Listen to this. Then their eyes were opened. They realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Look at the number of times that the personal is in there. Then their eyes were opened. They realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. You see how the transformation there took place? With the eating of the fruit that God told them not to eat, their eyes were opened. They could see sin. They could see evil, which they couldn't see before because there was no exposure to it in their lives. They opened up the floodgates, and immediately they were concerned about themselves. What does it say? The last verse of, I think, chapter 2 there. It says, and they were naked and felt no shame. You see, before they rebelled against God, they weren't concerned about themselves, because God was taking care of everything. They had full confidence that everything and anything that they needed, that God was going to take care of. They could walk, they could live their lives, they could enjoy one another's company, and they could walk in the provisions of the Lord, and everything was glorious. And immediately when sin came in, boom, their attention turned to themselves. How are we gonna, let's do this for ourselves. And can I tell you, the Apostle Paul could see it in the last days. He said men and women would be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Come on, church. It's the same old stuff. The rebellion against God brings us to selfishness. Never known a single person who actually came up and said they had enough. There's always one more thing. Then there's one more thing, and then there's one more thing. That's part of our fallen nature. Godliness with contentment is great gain, the Apostle Paul said. See, that's the spiritual side of it. I won't go too far down that. With the fall came the curse. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it. By the sweat of your brow you will eat food. Man envisioned that his hard work had produced all of his provisions. Can you see how tangled up everything becomes? The ground existed because God made the ground. The ground was there to produce for mankind, but man rebelled against God, and in his rebellion, the ground itself was cursed, so that the man had to go and dig in the soil to produce something in order to be able to eat and to exist. And what is his conclusion? Look what I've done. Even the children that God gave them, they pronounced to be their own. Cain, Abel, their name means, I have brought forth a man. Look what I have done, Eve said. Look what I have done. Look how grand I am. You see, selfishness and a lack of giving go hand in hand. Either we don't want to give because we're holding it for something that we can receive, or what happens in today's realm more than that is that we have already spent what we've just received on something that we wanted. And so now we're playing catch up. Oh, I'd love to be able to give. I'd love to be able to turn loose, but I've already committed it. So I'm going to go to work tomorrow to pay what I enjoyed yesterday. How many know what I'm talking about? I'm not saying that you did it. I'm just saying you know somebody. Okay. The selfish nature that we have come to expect from people starts at an early age because sin is imputed. Watch kids. Watch kids at play. Self-centered babies. Give me attention. Give me all your attention. We try to Skype with our oldest out in Seattle, and they have twin daughters that are now 14 months old. And they can sense that mommy or daddy are talking to somebody on this computer. Now, it's really precious when they come over and kiss the screen, I gotta tell you. It doesn't feel exactly the same as real life, but it really moves grandpa and grandma's heart, you know, when they come over. But then once that whole thing is done, then they're concerned about mommy and daddy watching that thing and talking to it rather than to them. So then it becomes a whole activity of, let me distract you from doing that by me. I would have done a full dance for you, but I knew you couldn't take it. And those self-centered babies become self-centered children. If you don't give them what they want, they will cry. And those self-centered children become self-centered teenagers. Sorry, teenagers. It's true. Give me my way or I'll hate you. And then those self-centered teenagers become self-centered adults that says, give me my way or I'll leave. They leave their jobs. They leave their homes. They leave their families. They leave their mates. They leave the church. They leave God. It's all the same stuff. It's selfish. It's a result of the fall. Are you with me? Let's take another step. A transformed life restores the giving intent. Once again, God takes the lead, for God so loved the world that he gave. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. To as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. That's the precious Holy Spirit. Do not leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I talked to you a couple weeks ago about Peter. The one who, thinking of himself, denied Jesus three times is the same one who came to the Gate Beautiful and looked at the man square on and said, silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The giving nature is restored to believers. Listen to what the scripture says in Acts 4. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to everyone as he had need. Now, aren't you thankful this morning that I'm not standing up here saying to you, you need to sell everything and give it to the church? How many are thankful for that? How many are still awake? good. I saw that hand go way up back there in the back. This is about heart. It's about a transformed life. When we reckon with the truth that God so loved us that he gave us Jesus, and then you attach to that what the Apostle Paul said, you're no longer your own. Now, I'm very understanding about this because it took me a lot of years to really come to this understanding that this is true, that Jesus paid for my life. He didn't just pay for my sins. He paid for my life. He bought me. Now, there's a huge difference in him just coming and dying for my sins and my accepting him and believing in him for the salvation of my sins. There's a big difference between that and my understanding that Jesus came and purchased me. I am so glad that I found that sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians and came to the understanding with the Apostle Paul that I am not my own. I was bought with a price. So I am walking now as his possession, belonging to him. So the same spirit that is in him is the same spirit that he's put inside of me. So then the same nature that he has should become the same nature that I have. And it, oh God help me, it's got to be a giving nature because he's a giving God. You see, it's just natural. It's not a forced thing. It's not something that people compel. It's not something that I can use a crowbar on you or a good emotional story or something or other and get you to turn loose of some stuff. That's not real giving. That's not biblical giving. Biblical giving is that you've become tied to God, who is the ultimate giver and has given into your life, and you recognize that you don't belong to yourself anymore. Now, his nature is your nature, and you're following hard after him. And even in that, there's not a forced thing about this. You're not sitting there going, oh, no, oh, man. I got to write this check again. Here's what I found. That people that have this mixed up, they're really concerned about how the money is spent. Now, I believe, and I think you can see by the way we report and everything like that, I believe in good stewardship. Everything is out in the open. We don't hide anything because that's the way it should be, okay? But if there's strings, here's what we get. Can we use the building? Well, yes. Right now, because we don't have a full janitorial staff, we don't have maintenance people, we have to charge a bit of a rental fee in order to utilize the building. Well, I've been going there for 20 years, and I've been paying my tithes. What do you do with that? Are you saying to me that the reason that you put money into the building, or into the offering plate, is so that you can rent the facility? That you can have access to this facility? I hate to tell you this, but you couldn't rent this place for that kind of money. No, you couldn't. Not if it was building out here. You couldn't rent for the kind of money that you may put in on a weekly basis. It would take a whole lot more than that. If your giving is about buying access to the facilities, you missed it. You see, there's a naturalness about giving because you have been transformed by the blood of Jesus. I does not come into it. Me does not come into it. I give because I have received. Because God has blessed me, and I want to turn loose and help him to see that I appreciate what he has given to me. And I look in his word and I see that his people throughout the ages have given first fruits offerings and given tithes and given offerings. And I say, okay, there's a model. So then I'm going to use that. Do I have to? No, I don't have to, because I walk under the blood of Jesus Christ. But because he's done this transforming work inside of me, and he's going to take me into a city that he has prepared for me. And my goodness, is it an incredible place. I mean, we could go talking about streets of gold, gates of pearl, and all that kind of stuff. But then, you know, then you'd all be longing for heaven, and we wouldn't get anything. We need a little earthiness to this. We're talking about relationship. Whenever I hear a man say, I have to go buy my wife something for Valentine's Day, I know things are not quite right. Really. If I have to go express my love to my wife, something's wrong in our relationship. On the other hand, if it's always in the back of my mind, I wonder how I can show my love to her. So I'll call her on the telephone, know she's been working hard all day. Can I bring you some food? Can I bring you something sweet? Can I bring you something to make your day a little easier? Not because she demands it, but because I have a relationship with her and that I love her. You understand what I'm saying? We need to get this thing going with God. To understand that he doesn't want us to give anything more than he has already given to us. Do the next slide, would you? Giving is not only evidence of true conversion, it's not the only evidence. However, if true conversion has taken place, there will be giving. We need to understand that. If I say to you this morning, if you're not a giver, can I say to you in love as your pastor, your relationship with the Lord is in trouble? Because see, it's not about the amount. It's about the heart. And it's a really good area for us to check, to see. What's my attitude in giving? Am I doing it out of necessity? Am I doing this grudgingly? Oh, I've got to go buy her a box of candy. Hey, if not in that giving, somewhere along the line, she's going to see that my love for her is nothing but a bunch of work. You know, if you're bringing your tithes and your offerings up here like, oh. I could have really enjoyed what that would have bought. Can I tell you, in love, keep it? Not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves the cheerful giver. Our time of giving should be one of the richest times that we have in a service, because the opportunity that exists. I mean, honestly, now... other opportunities do you have to give back to God? Who's given you so much? I got to be done. I have a minute. And then our hour and 15 minutes will be up. But I want you to just do one thing for me before we close. I'd like for you to take a breath. Come on, everybody. Ready? Oh, all right, let's do it one more time. It felt good. Now, my Bible says, right in the very beginning, that God breathed into man and man became a living soul. So the next one that you take, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, are because he loves you. You say, well, you know, God doesn't do for me like he does for some other people. Okay, give me one of these. I think he's doing a lot for you like he does for other people. The only ones that don't get that are the ones that we will visit at the funeral homes or the graveyards. We are blessed. There's not too many times that I will stand with Stephen King, but right here I have to stand with him. We are blessed. Freely you have received, freely give. It's the most natural thing to do. Selfishness, dinginess, all reflect upon the fall. Relationship with God says, let me give. You know, there are times that you don't have any money, and I really hate it that this always kind of centers around money. Because there's talent, there's ability, there's strength. There's a lot of things that we can give back to the Lord. Huh? And I've made it a purpose, because I want to be as effective as I can be on Sunday morning. I've made it a purpose to give God Saturday night. To not overly engage myself on Saturday night, so that I will have the strength to be at the best that I can be on Sunday morning. That's giving. And that's the relationship. You see, there are many, many different ways that you can give to the Lord and be purposeful in your giving.